You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Kia ora, Paul Kennedy. How are you?
Kia ora, I'm very well, thank you. Happy New Zealand Music Month.
Happy New Zealand Music Month to you. Oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it?
It is, it is.
We're very lucky to be joined by you today because you're sort of the keeper of the charts a little bit, aren't you, over at Recorded Music New Zealand?
Yeah, that's been my job for a long time, probably about coming up 25 years.
That's wicked. Half the time that they've been around. Damn.
Exactly, yeah, scary. It seems like overnight to me. I can't quite believe it's been that long, but, you know, these things happen.
Yeah, it's very beautiful that we get to talk about this during New Zealand Music Month as the charts turn 50 this year. It all sort of started in 1975. I'd love if you could just sort of tell us what was it that sparked the need for a New Zealand music chart?
Yeah, well, there had been charts prior to that. So there were radio charts and The Listener had a chart for a few years. And there were different ways that different places had sort of tried to put together a sort of best guess at what was popular out there. And some of them were, you know, radio play. Some of them were listener votes. Some of it was retail. 1975 was when they decided that it should actually be done a little bit more kind of robustly and went across all of the existing retail at that stage and, put together the first of the sort of, I would say, first legit New Zealand music charts.
Mm. And, I mean, we still have, like, things like Radioscope as well, which are our charts for radio play, right? But the special thing about the official Aotearoa music charts is that it's all based off of sales and now streaming as well, right?
Yeah, so that's I do the Radioscope charts as well. So do a bunch of different charts, IMNZ, and yeah, a couple of others as well. But the main one is, of course, the official Aotearoa chart. And the good thing about that is that it's really a sort of, it's the only universal capture of how people are consuming music, whether it's physical sales, gig sales, digital downloads, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes. It sort of counts everything, and it's a little bit hard when you're comparing apples with oranges and trying to sort of equate one for the other in terms of formats, but as far as we can kind of get to, it's the best measure of what the great unwashed out there are actually preferring to listen to.
I am interested about the timeline of it all. When did streaming get added to the official chart count?
I think that came in 2014. So streaming's been around, and it's obviously now the most prominent way in which people listen to music. So I think one of the really big changes that came with streaming is just that so many more people are counted, whereas, you know, it used to be sales only. When you went to Sounds at Manukau City on a Friday night and bought your, you know, copy of something that was counted once and then never seen again, and it was maybe, you know, a few thousand people whose tastes were listened to, you know, were being measured. Streaming, it's pretty much everybody listening to pretty much everything all the time. So there's just a lot more people's tastes are now incorporated.
Yeah, so what is the process now for, like, comparing apples and oranges, as you say, with streaming versus physical sales? Like, that must be quite a difficult thing to navigate.
Yeah, it does. It's never an exact science. It's something where we start from the basis that how many streams would you need to have in order to make the same amount of money, roughly, that you would have from a sale.
Mm. So, which is a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot. But the, you know, the numbers with streaming are also a lot. So you've got, you know, sort of thousands of streams will equal an album sale. Sales are still extremely important when you, particularly if it's, you know, first or second week of a new album coming out. If you've got a strong fan base, you know, whether it's local or international, if you can get, you know, a few hundred people to come to your release party, that's a lot of album sales that can be counted and go a very long way. You'd have to have an enormous number of streams to get the same bang for your buck as those sales have. So
yeah, I remember going down to the Marlon Williams flying out, and it makes so much sense because so many people were walking away with the physical copy of the album, and next week he was number one, like blown out the water. And the week before that, it had been like 660 in LAB for weeks on end.
Yeah. So that's kind of the ebb and flow, is that there are some acts that will just consistently have a lot of streaming, and so they tend to kind of hover at the top of the charts. But then that will be interrupted by someone coming along who might be brand new or might be sort of from a different genre, and has just kind of captured the imagination for that little while. They'll go to number one, they'll have their turn. And then sort of maybe that will diminish over the next few weeks, and 660 and LAB will be back again. But there's always something new. So it's actually pretty, I wouldn't say it's easy to get to number one for a New Zealand artist, particularly in the top 40, but just in the New Zealand only portions of the chart, there, you know, a lot of diversity and an enormous amount of talent out there. You really just need to kind of be organized and have your fan base activated, really.
Yeah, and I feel like as well, it's really important if there's musicians out there listening that they know about recording their physical sales of music, eh, at their gigs and stuff like that.
Absolutely, makes a massive difference if you're going on tour and you've got, you know, so particularly if you're doing a couple of shows in a week and you can sell, you know, 10 copies here and 12 copies there, you put it all together and it goes a long way. Particularly if you're doing Bandcamp as well. So we include Bandcamp figures. And like I say, just having your ducks in a row, and you can probably make a decent, you know, impact on the chart.
Awesome. I think we should get into a little bit of a trip down memory lane, if you will. And we're going to listen to a few tracks, and you can talk us through how well they did on the charts. First one up is Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division.
Yeah, I love this story. I love Joy Division. This is New Zealand's the only country that they went to number one with Love Will Tear Us Apart. It was a massive hit everywhere, but we took them to heart for some reason particularly strongly. And that was, I would say, around the time that I was just beginning to sort of understand what music was and have my own opinions, and this one stuck with me and it's still one of my favorites.
It makes so much sense because listening, like, it's such an iconic song and I've heard it everywhere, but listening to it, you're like, it's reminiscent of like Crowded House and things like that, when you're like, oh yeah, I've heard this before. I've heard it floating around.
Yeah, I think everybody knows it. They may not know exactly why.
Cool, let's have a listen.
Yeah.
absolute banger. Absolute banger, Paul.
You can see why that went to number one.
Yeah, yeah. I like the fact that the New Zealand charts over the years have been sort of somewhat picking the best from other places. So the American hits, the UK hits, the Australian hits. We've kind of had little tastes of each of those and cherry-picked the best. And then a lot of New Zealand music as well, which frequently is the best.
Speaking of New Zealand music, our next song that you picked for us is George by Headless Chickens.
Yeah, so this one is the first and only Flying Nun single to go to number one.
Wow.
They've had, you know, multiple albums do really well, and they've had plenty of music in the charts over the years, but getting to number one was always a bit tricky. And this came out as a double A-side with Cruise Control. So it's sort of debatable which song was, you know, being purchased, but George was actually the A-side, so
number one. I did always think that the other one, the B-side, did better on this, Cruise Control. It's sort of the more, maybe the more, I mean, they're both pretty well-known songs, I guess, but Cruise Control, I think, is Cruise Control, the classic,
Yeah, everybody knows that song. It's been in ads and it's been on the radio, and it's definitely more of an accessible song. So perhaps that is what many of the consumers were actually purchasing when they got that. But I love George. It's just the darker, it's more like the Chris Matthews of his earlier bands, Children's Hour and People.
Yeah, I mean, we're at 95BFM. We're not here for accessible music.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool, let's listen to George by Headless Chickens.
I'm with you. This is my favorite side of the singles. This is my favorite one of the singles. I did have a question talking about, I guess, older Kiwi music. One of the cool features of the charts is the catalog feature, which is really cool. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the catalog charts are still relatively new. We only instituted those a couple of years ago, and that was done to sort of mitigate what has become a worldwide phenomenon where so much music is available on streaming platforms, and people are so nostalgic that a lot of the older material was actually just staying in the charts forever. And it was quite difficult for new music to sort of compete. And we've separated out sort of frontline or current music into the top 40 portion, and then we have the catalog charts, which is anything more than 18 months old, which is just a really fascinating look at the things which are still popular. There are certain bands that just will always be in those charts because people can't stop listening to them.
For sure. And talking about bands that love to be in the charts, your last song you picked for us is a Beth song, Middle.
Yeah, so I sort of, this one hasn't been to number one, but it may well, I don't know. But it's a good example of this, the other sort of portion of the charts, which is the discovery side. So the hot charts, which are like viral, just sort of predicting perhaps what's going to be big. And this is a song that the Beths released just last week.
It's very good. And you've, oh man, this is so good. Love it. So the charts that you look after in terms of the Aotearoa music charts, there's quite a few. There's the overall singles, overall album. There's Aotearoa singles, Aotearoa albums. Te Reo Māori singles as well?
Yeah, yeah, which is great. That's been a feature just in the last few years. There's been massive growth and sort of, and I would say organic growth of popularity of Te Reo music. There's been some of it in the charts going all the way back to Poye and to the Bridge, Dean Waratini back in the 70s and a few others. But now we've got, you know, Marlon Williams' number one album entirely in Te Reo.
And you also rebranded the charts from the official New Zealand music charts to the official Aotearoa music charts last year, right?
Yeah, exactly. It just seemed like the right time. There was a bit of, you know, sort of movement for that. The New Zealand Music Awards had already become the Aotearoa Music Awards, and they're part of the same umbrella recorded music organisation. And we did quite a bit of research to sort of see what the appetite was out there, and it was pretty universally regarded as a good time to make that change. It's been well received.
Awesome. I guess from me a final question. Do you have a favourite number one single from the charts over your time?
Oh,
we're talking about weeks and weeks of charts, but
yeah, I don't know. I always go back to I Got You, Split Ends.
Oh, tune.
Classic.
Yeah, it's so easy to put together these classics playlists and stuff. It's quite hard to then just narrow down and say this is the one. But
yeah. Well, that's the good thing about charts, I guess, is there doesn't have to just be one.
No, right. And you don't have to like everything every week. That's the thing, you know, you dip in and out. That's
beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Paul, for all of your mahi and for chatting with us today. Happy birthday to the official Aotearoa music charts.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good rest of your evening.
You too.
Ka kite.
Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just better.
destination.